keep it alive. Through these lines I write, I keep it live, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling them flare, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Of course, check out our website, theantimedia.org, and I'm also joined here by my co-host, D.B. Schwartz. How you doing tonight, brother?
Doing all right, man. I'm watching in fascination at the beginning of what looks like it's state versus fed, man. It popped off in Nevada, of all places, which is kind of – I don't think it's at all a mystery why Nevada was chosen. They don't pay federal income tax, and they're more or less run by a third party, not the people and not the government, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and all the detractors are trying to say, oh, they're just a bunch of lazy crooks that don't want to pay their taxes. Really?
Well, this is the gist of it. You know, some cattle, you know, grazed on some land that the Fed says it's theirs, and really it's undeveloped. Nothing's being done with it. The Bureau of Land Management says they own it. The Fed says they own anything, basically. So if the people are okay with that, then by all means, let it continue to go. And then one day they'll say your house is federal property, and then property is actually illegal because it's for the bad of society. I mean, this is the way it's going. It's little things like this that spur into great ideas where eventually the kids in the future will go, I don't need to work for anything. Everything will be taken care of for me. I don't need anything. It's societal living, communism rules. And everybody knows it's just an easier way for the elites to take everything.
Yeah, we've talked about it before. Of course, the essentials of society. I'm in agreement with you that, you know, the society as a whole should help take care of people when it comes to education, food, shelter, people that aren't able to take care of themselves or do it for themselves. You know, we should have a safety net. But at the same time, we don't want to have federal bureaucrats, federal government in charge of it, because that's what they do when they get in charge of managing things. They end up not managing it in favor of the people, and they end up managing it in favor of the corporations.
Honestly, that's what this Bundy thing is all about. It's a shale oil grab. They're telling a rancher, you know what, you owe so much money. They say that he owes $1 million. And what's the arbitrary amount going to be, $1 billion, like Dr. Evil? You know, how did they get to this number? Nobody knows. So they're seizing the guy's cattle, his livelihood. And underneath his ranch is a fat shale oil deposit, now going to be taken under eminent domain, meaning this guy's not going to get the mineral rights to his lands. Another snafu that they put into our property tax code.
And you also got this info that was dug up by our friends over at Stormcloud's Gathering, and it was accused that Harry Reid was involved in setting up some kind of solar project that was to be financed by the Chinese. Okay, we're talking about the largest solar project in the United States that was going to be set up by the – paid for and owned by the Chinese. And Harry Reid's son is, in fact, one of their biggest representatives for this company, and he's like their lobbyist. And who's he lobbying? Well, he's lobbying his father. So,
of course.
And of course, Harry denies that he ever talked to his son about this development, the largest solar development in the United States. Harry Reid claims that he never talked to his son about this project. However, Harry Reid did come out and try to push his way and push this project through.
Now, listen, if the government can push through an eminent domain on this guy's land, they can do it on anybody for any reason, at any time, just because you are in the way of something they want to complete. The property rights and individual rights are gone if this guy loses his ranch, even if he does owe $1 million. And they still have yet to surmise how they got to that accounting figure.
And here's the other thing. These guys are trying to sell this land out to the Chinese. And now the other thing is that the BLM, the Bureau of Land Management, they tried to pull – because what happened is there was a report that the BLM put out, basically a press release saying, okay, this is why we need to kick this guy off that land. And one of the points down there was a little section that said financial – it was about financial stuff. And it was talking about this Harry Reid solar China connection, basically saying that, oh, we can't do this solar thing as long as these cattle are in the way. Now, the BLM tried to take this stuff down from the website, bro. Now, this is the thing. This is where it gets crazy. They tried to take it down. They tried to censor it. They tried to pull some George Orwell stuff where they rewrite history. Luckily, there's a bunch of these websites that archive internet info. And my friends over at Stormcloud's Gathering were able to dig this stuff up. Sure enough, man, we found the original report, and boom, it's right there, right in the middle. Oh, yeah, it's partially because of the money that they're going to lose out on because of this solar project that Harry Reid's son is working on. So, these guys tried to cover it up. They're lying. They're trying to use the power of the government to pull on some crony some crony capitalism stuff. And it's just bad news all around. And the cool thing is –
beyond crony capitalism, because if we have a so-called adversary or competitor – that's getting in on these projects. Listen, they already own so much land and property, and they're so in bed with us already. But if they start buying into our new power infrastructure, they can shut us off just simply by dumping bonds. I mean, if anybody doesn't see that the people at the top are setting us up to fail to save their own asses about all this debt they own, all their other, you know, secret crony buddies over in China, then you're blind. That's all it is. They're just selling off America piece by piece to get rid of a debt that made them rich by making slave labor available to them. That's all it is.
Yeah, and let's not forget, the federal government owns 650 million acres. The BLM is in charge of over 200 million acres, but they're mostly in charge of more on the west. Now, there's other agencies or whatever that take care of other lands over on the east and the south and stuff. But it's a large, large percentage of the land. I think the government owns like 40% of the land or something like that. It's insane. And what are they doing with it? Well, they sell it off to big oil a lot of times. They sell leases to big oil and they let them frack the hell out of it. They let them drill oil. And anyone like you and me, anyone of the public who is supposedly the ones that own this stuff, because let's remember, it is called public land, right?
Right.
So supposedly we own this stuff, yet anytime anyone wants to do anything with it, if you're just an average Joe and you don't got no money to throw around, unless you're at a park or something where they actually designate and say that you're allowed to go, they permit you to go to this area. We can't really use that. We can't really use that land, dude. The idea of homesteading and all that stuff, the government doesn't like that idea anymore. They want to hold all the land for their own good and to sell it off to corporate interests and to their own buddies. And just like with Harry Reid, where it's his son that's representing this company, I mean, it just reeks. It reeks of just total corruption, man.
So, Nick, this is like, if now is ever a time to do it, it's time for your petition, which would be signed by just about anybody in the U.S., which is to say, let's reappropriate this land that the BLM's sitting on, as long as they can't prove that it has a military national security interest. They're going to have to prove every square mile of it. Everything that's left over, and there's probably going to be at least 300, let's just say 300 million acres left, about half. Everybody in the U.S. gets one, and it's just a random land lottery, and it'll be a modern interpretation of the 40 acres and a mule, but it'll go to everybody in the U.S. with a social security, because guess what? They've been leveraging off your labor since you were born. Time for you to get the land that your labor was already leveraged for and is now being given over piecemeal to the Chinese, unless you want to learn Mandarin.
Time to turn the tables on these a-holes, bro.
Or get used to not having a country anymore, because in another generation, it will be leveraged by force. If you don't think Red Dawn can happen, they're setting it up to happen.
Yeah, man. And we're going to get back into this Bundy Ranch. We're going to have Patty Beers call in. She called in last week, I believe, but she was actually at Bundy Ranch. She's going to call in
awesome.
At like half past the hour. We'll jump a little further into detail about Bundy Ranch. But what you were saying, it kind of leads right into this whole Ukraine thing, and we didn't really talk about it last show, but you know, Ukraine is turning into a absolute powder keg, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this huge Russian buildup on the border, which has been taking place for like at least a couple months. And then you got these quote unquote pro-Russian protesters. That's what the media keeps calling them. Pro-Russian protesters taking over government mm-hmm. buildings in eastern Ukraine. So basically the way I'm seeing it is kind of like, well, it's Russia basically just playing the same game that we've been playing for how long? They took it right out of our playbook. It's like we were surprised that they're doing it. They're saying it's for democracy. They got to help people. They finance the protesters. They supply them with the arms to do it. And then they come in and they rescue the people because out of humanitarian reasons. It's just all they're waiting for is for the Ukrainian authorities to start shooting at these protesters. And then Russia and Putin, they're going to come marching right across the border.
They will. They're going to come liberate them. Let me tell you why. And this is why this is not going to remain a proxy war, but it will become a conquest. And it's going to have to. I'm a student of geopolitics, and you have to say it like this. If, say, China decided to, I don't know, invade Canada, and they were in Vancouver, and they were on our doorstep, we would definitely go in there and take them out. So there's no question in my mind that Putin will use this buildup. He has to. It's a border nation with NATO a missile shield ring around it, and you can't allow it to fall into the hands of the banksters. He knows that, you know, if once that happens, they're sitting ducks. Well, they can get hit with a barrage of stuff before they can even retaliate at all. They need a buffer zone. They need a client state, and if they lose that, they know they're going to be vulnerable forever.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I agree. I think Russia is doing this out of self-defense. The main reason they're doing it is because of what happened with the whole overthrow of the government and how we kind of were backing these people and kind of handpicked the new government and all that stuff. You know, and so he was what Russia's doing is kind of out of self-defense. Are they right? No. But at the same time, it's at the root of the problem. It's our foreign policy that's causing all this stuff. So in the end, the responsibility kind of comes back to us, where it's on us to rein in our government first, and then we wouldn't have to see these kind of things happen.
Right. I mean, you have to do this, though. He doesn't have a choice. He understands that no matter how bad the sanctions get, they'd never be in any comparison to having just another military on his doorstep, and right there too, right there. Having a puppet state right on your border and then losing it to an adversary just can't be allowed.
Yeah, it's a matter of pride for a lot of these guys, man. You know, it's a chess game.
And safety, that's what they'll say. They'll say, if the imperialist American regime backed by the EU can come in and take over the Ukraine except for Crimea, well, they'll ruin our whole culture, our way of life. They'll put you in debt and your kids in debt. You know, they'll use all the other propaganda from the other side, and it'll be a way for them to go in, and they'll grab as much of that east as they can. And I was always thinking, this country will be cut in half soon.
Yeah, man, it's like, what are we going to do about it, though?
We can't. What can we do? We can't do anything about it. Like, even if we were to petition our government to use anything but military, it won't do anything. That's the whole thing, is that it's too it's too risky for him. If he were allowed something, Putin were allowed something like that to happen, he could be attacked and he could never retaliate in time. And it just you lose your national autonomy, essentially, when another country's like got you by the nuts, so to speak. There's nothing you can do about it. Just like China has our financial system kind of in their hands and can crush it, and we can't do much to them no matter how aggressive they get.
Yeah, you know, and see, there, even though I don't really think the Constitution was the greatest document, it was a good document.
It was a good start.
It was a good idea. But they warned, man. They warned us about this stuff. You know, they warned us about having standing armies. They warned us about having a big military. They warned us about giving away powers like this. I mean, this land grab thing, man, this thing in Nevada. I mean, we got to start figuring out some highly, highly effective ways to undermine the funding of this machine. And, I mean, we got to do it really quickly here.
Because I think
defunding these people is probably the easiest way to start really hacking at the root of what's going on here.
Yeah, and the thing is that, Nick, just like you said before, if the land's just reappropriated and then they have to put everything else under like a federally controlled military zone so that it couldn't be used for crony capitalism, see what I mean? Public land should only be for two things, public good or public defense, right? Because we need places for our planes to fly over and all that stuff for practice. So I get it. Leave Nevada or whatever, but there's huge swaths of very fertile land just sitting there doing nothing. You can drive across the West and see just tons and tons of empty fields that could be irrigated. And this whole food thing with GMOs and we need them to feed the world, what a bunch of cockamamie. We have so much land and it's all fertile. It's just not being irrigated. They cut off our water in California due to business practices when, in fact, we're not even running a deficit. We're running a surplus and all of our deficit is federally spent. And now guess what? The produce is being jacked up. The prices are doubling on a lot of stuff. This is all a big game. Do people not get this? This is a push for the depression.
Yeah, man, we're getting hit at every angle, more or less. So you got a weak economy where people are, yeah, there may be jobs, but they're underemployed. Almost everybody is underemployed right now. You got this Obamacare thing coming down and hitting at all the young people, which are supposed to be the ones driving this economy. You know, these young people are the spenders. You know what I mean? These are the people that are spending their money stupidly, which is helping, you know, in the current model, that's what helps drive this economy.
They have nothing, though.
and they're getting hit from every angle. And now the food prices are going up. The gas prices are pretty damn high right now, if I may say.
Well, they creep up past four again, and they'll just climb up and up. But here's the thing is that if people that are younger aren't getting into the workforce – Has anyone seen the newer generation? I mean, they're grown up on the internet. They're not going to buy into this game anymore. So you have this generation of disgruntled guys that can't work. They all have degrees, or they're really underemployed or in shitty jobs. These dudes are having kids. I'm not kidding you. They're still having kids. They don't have money, but they still have kids, and they're raising them to look at this as the machine it is. And these children are going to be so not interested. They're going to public schools right now and calling out the teachers because they're Googling shit in class and saying, you're so full of shit. So the teachers in the middle of class, this is what my friends are telling me their own kids are doing. So this game's already over unless they're going to try to commit some kind of crazy genocidal war of some sort, because they already lost this generation and the one underneath it. They're gone already to them.
Yeah, man, the battle of the minds is definitely being won at our age group. And then, like you were saying, the younger generation, man, I mean, all these people, almost everyone I know that has a kid is awake, man, and they're teaching them. And it's – no, but yeah, you're right. There's no way in the next generation that these people are going to be able to maintain this structure. You know, so one way or another
– it's – yeah.
One way or another, it's going to have to come to an end, and if we can do that in a way that benefits the majority of the people, like, for instance, starting off by reappropriating all federally owned land, that would be nice. That would be sweet. Then they don't have to start up a bogus war. They don't have to start up a bogus crisis, a bogus famine, whatever it is that's going to be, a bogus disease. And we
could do something like, if you don't want your land, like say you're just a guy in a city and you're like, what am I going to do with that acre? We'll allow you to donate that to the Department of Agriculture, who'll then grow food and throw it into food banks locally, and you get the tax write-off. There's all these games we can play. They don't need all this stuff. What are they doing with it? They're just saving it for big business in crony capitalism and selling it away to other countries and destroying our stuff. That's all it is.
The funniest
That's what the
thing,
BLM does.
The funniest thing about this BLM, about this the FDA, all this stuff, they're like, okay, well, we need GMOs because it increases crop yield, right? And then they at the same time, they tell people not to grow corn. They pay them not to grow corn. They subsidize them and say, hey, don't grow corn. It'll drive the prices too high. Yep. So effectively, like,
their whole
argument for GMOs is like completely moot when it comes to this corn and all this stuff.
You don't need GMOs. They're just there to spread misery. That's all they're there for. There's some prevalence to thinking that they're there because the climate's about to shift overnight or something so fast that they need these Arctic resistant GMOs, blah, 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 blah. If that's the case, come out with it and say it so that we don't think we're guinea pigs for no reason, that you're actually anticipating something like an ice age and you're going to try this stuff out because otherwise we're all going to starve. If somebody said that, then people at home would start figuring out how to grow their own food as an alternative, not just to health, but because you don't want to eat stuff if they're testing things out for different reasons. You know what I mean? Don't be the guinea pig. We don't need that. If you want to buy a 69-cent a pound banana, go ahead. They're supposed to be $1.69 if they're organic. That way you don't get all the whatever's in there. You know, the option should be there, but everything should be an option, not forced down, you know, on an unsuspecting public.
Yeah, exactly. And there's not enough research on it and all that, and the pesticide. You know, we can't trust all this research there's so much research coming from other countries, you know, and independent researchers that are saying, look, no, this stuff is unhealthy. This glyphosate, this Roundup, is causing kidney disease on a massive scale for everyone in the rural community where they grow these crops and stuff. So, you know, you got that issue, and you got all these other parts of the grid. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago about the gas prices, man, and everybody, almost everybody, is reliant on these gas-powered cars and relying on big oil to supply them with the gasoline. I mean, that's a huge problem, dude. And I've been seeing these conversion cars, man. They're pretty cool. You just take your existing car, and they basically just pull out the gas motor, and they throw an electric one in there. And then your range goes down. You can only travel 50 miles each way or whatever, 30 miles each way. But if your commute is small like that, I mean, you can make a big difference because people in those are mostly people in the city that have a small commute like that, you know, and that's where everybody's driving.
Right.
So I mean, you know, we got to start looking at all these grids and all this, the way that they're trying to harm us, whether it be through the banking sector or through the food inflation, anything like that, anything that's going on. Those are the ways that we got to first start looking at ways to check out. You know, get out of it. Convert your car over to run on vegetable oil. Convert it to run on electricity or ethanol, even. Whatever it is, we got to start looking at ways to check out of this grid. You know,
right? And here's the thing: when we look at getting off of this whole cycle of crony capitalism and big oil, we can see the land grab. We can see why they're selling stuff, because all the research shows that our so-called barren stuff in the desert can grow this hemp that they've developed perfectly, and it would destroy big oil and big fuel, big coal, everything, because you can run anything off hemp. It's combustible, and it's green, and you can grow it everywhere in the U.S. because we have the right soil composition. So that's all it is, man. It's just giving it away, selling it out, keeping the old system going, stopping new tech from coming out, keeping the matrix and this prison going, and that's all it is. That's the only thing that they care about doing. And the more we get off it, the more they get so desperate they pull out this stuff, like 200 guys to stop a rancher. I mean, if anybody sees that and isn't horrified by it, like, that's such gross misuse of public – that must have cost $5 million already, what they're doing, paying all these guys all this overtime and having helicopters hovering around and blocking cell phones and all this other shit, dude. It's just – this is sci-fi shit that doesn't need to happen. This isn't the real world. This isn't what real people want that actually do jobs that these psychos rely on. And I think people are getting tired of buying into this and allowing this to perpetuate. When's the next massacre going to happen?
Well, according to what I read, these guys actually spent $3 million on this operation. Even though the guy supposedly he only owes $1 million. So it's just like, that's like now they're $4 million in the hole instead of one, you know?
Now he can't pay him. He can't possibly pay him. This land, no matter what happens, it's going to be tied up in court forever. No one's going to end up with it. It'll go back to the BLM. And then by then that petition you want will be signed by everyone. Cause who wouldn't want a free acre? You couldn't possibly tell somebody, hey, you want this free? No, I don't want. You sure you don't want like $5,000 for free, homie? Like anybody will take that. You can get 200 million signatures on that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely go for an acre or two, bro.
That's all you need, just an acre. Everybody with a social gets an acre.
Yeah, I mean, because everybody knows that having a social security number is actually kind of, you know, you're leveraged upon the debt more or less.
Yeah.
You're basically, that turns you into an asset of the country more or less instead of a person. Hold on, I got to mute up. I got a helicopter flying over, man.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. He's not leaving, so.
Well, there's somebody around there they're looking for.
Yeah. So
it's just coming... a friendly drop by for you.
Yeah, basically. So I think Patty's probably going to call in a few minutes. So let's cover more stories here real quick. I saw a report that came out earlier today. What's up?
I was just going to say, we got to highlight one thing, and this is just, it's sick irony, if you can call it that, when 36 people were killed by guns in 36 hours in Chicago. This is a major story that's kind of going under the radar. This is a gun-free city. I've never heard of that before outside of, like, Brazil or something. That's insane.
That's ridiculous, dude.
It was some kind of gangland retaliation weekend or something? I don't know. But that's a person an hour is ridiculous. I don't think there's a city in the world that can possibly even come close to that.
Oh, man. You know, they're turning Chicago. You know, Chicago's got its own reality show on CNN now. And I don't know. It seems like they're working with the mayor dude, Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he's well connected in the Obama regime. And, you know, there's plenty of dirt on that guy. But it just goes to show that these neo policies, these neo politics, man, it is not working. You can't solve problems by legislating your way out of them. It just doesn't work. That's what the government doesn't understand that. All they have are guns and pieces of paper. That's all they have.
Right.
They can either
and
legislate
so-called royal and royal blood at the top, which they say they claim is you know, better than everybody else's. They're the elites. They've been the elites forever. They're hiding now. Eventually, they'll come out from behind the curtain and try to claim legitimacy. But where is it? That's what I want to know. If things were going so well, everybody'd be in this some kind of utopia, some kind of scientific utopia where everybody was, you know, allowed to follow a passion and be amazing at something and have robots doing stuff. We'd be in Jetson's land now if these guys were so great at ruling. These guys are awful. Even if their agenda is to leave this planet, what are they going to leave with? A couple hundred people? That's going to be fun for them. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, man. It's like nothing that they have done for us or nothing that they claim to have done for us has actually worked out in our favor. You know, and it seems like they always just replace one vice with another, one problem with another problem. You know, and okay, let's ban this and let's do that and let's ban guns. But in reality, you're not taking care of the issue. You can't just ban guns out of a city and expect all the crime to go away. You have to understand why is happening. Well, crime is happening because there's a lot of people that are very, very poor. And a lot of these people are actually just basically business-minded people that are trying to work their way out of the ghetto that end up trying to sell drugs to make their way out and start a business or whatever. And I've known plenty of people that were like that. And And they end up trapped in this cycle. They end up in jail. They end up part of the system. They end up going back to jail. They end up getting institutionalized. I mean, it's insane. Right. Okay, I think we have a caller on the line. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. Who's this?
I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, just give us your name and then let us know what you want to talk about.
My name is Matt Dill. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm currently a doctoral student for information security. And I kind of wanted to discuss some of the revelations that Edward Snowden had brought to light recently. Excuse me.
Yeah, man, let's talk about it.
Well, basically, it just seems like everyone that I speak with, anybody I interact with, just doesn't seem to quite have a grasp on the magnitude of the things that they're doing. It, particularly with the drones that they are sending to other countries and assassinating innocent people, potential targets, the kill lists that they have, and different things like that. It just seems to me that everyone just takes a real passive dance towards it, but I don't think they understand the magnitude of what could happen. Because theoretically, all they have to do is pull their records, just search a couple keywords, pinpoint all of us, wipe us out, and then go for the bigger targets. Now, realistically speaking, everybody thinks that the government's not going to do that, that kind of thing. But I just know from my profession that a lot of the security professionals are starting to get really pissed off, including myself. And if they really don't watch their step, they don't really know what they're getting into.
Yeah, man.
I feel like
it's kind of like this. I think maybe one of the things you're talking about is how they can target people. One of the Snowden revelations showed that they're able to target people based on their geo data, like coming from their phones. You know, so they were striking these phone. They were striking the location of the phone based on the GPS location from these drones. And a lot of times, what was happening is the phones weren't even in the hands of the terrorists. The phones were in the hands of family members or children, and they were just blowing up these houses where the phone was located. You know, and it's so dangerous because they got all this aggregated data on us where they can just say, like you were saying, with the keyword, they, type in the word Sandy Hook or type in the word 9/11 truth and see who it comes up with. And then, boom, you're already like in the database. And the thing that's so scary about it is that these drones are becoming automated. They're just striking people based on heat signatures and some kind of identifiers, you know, biometrics and stuff like that. And it's just computer programs killing people, dropping bombs on people. It's not even in control of humans anymore a lot of times.
Well, they don't want people in charge. In fact, that because of Snowden, they're actually streamlining the process and cutting out, I think, something like 80% of the NSA's human workforce over the next decade. I mean, that's the result of what's gone on is they've dug in even deeper. And I don't think they understand they can't build a citadel that's thick enough to keep the whole world out when everybody's against them.
Hey, I think we have another caller on the line. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
Hey, now it's Patty Pierce.
Hey, Patty. How's it going?
All right.
Hey, so tell us a little bit about your experience over at the Bundy Ranch. You were up there. When did you get up there? This weekend?
Sure. I arrived there around 4:30 a.m. on Saturday, and then I was there till like Sunday morning. So when I was leaving my house, I was hearing a lot of rumors. They were telling me, that shots were fired. They were telling me that people were getting pulled over on the freeway on the way to get there, that their guns were being confiscated. I was hearing a lot of really scary stuff as I was leaving home. And then when I arrived there, I talked to the people there, and none of those things had happened. Nobody said that they got pulled over, their guns were confiscated. So, it wasn't scary at all. Like, it was really safe. And then one of the first people I met was Susan Bundy, Susan Hardy Bundy, Clive and Bundy's sister. And she's awesome, and she was talking about her love for the cows and how it was really hurting her to see, like, these cows being killed and the baby cows being without their moms. And I don't know, it was just really beautiful how much she had this love for these cows. And then I had talked to a lot of the people there. I was just going around with my light. I was doing a live stream broadcast, and I was just asking people, you know, talking to people, and a lot of people were talking about what their grievances were or what they saw wrong in the world. And I was just really getting the sense that I was agreeing with everything that they were saying about, you know, about how messed up the government is and how messed up, like, the federal agencies were, like, taking people's land and stuff. And they were talking about how every branch of the government is corrupted, and a lot of people were talking about we need a revolution. And I felt like the only thing that I was really disagreeing with anybody there about was, like, what was going to happen after the revolution. And I don't know, I felt really safe. It was a really good experience. I've never been around guns before, and, like, a lot of people were open carrying guns, and there were a lot of, like, very large guns. I don't know anything about guns or what kind of guns they were, but they're kind of scary guns. But I don't know, at the end of the day, I just kind of got comfortable, like, being around guns. It wasn't a big deal. Oh, and another one of my concerns, and the first person I talked to was a man from a show called Zen in Your Car. And I said to him, you know, my friend said, don't go, you're going to get killed, there's going to be a gunfight. And then he had assured me, he said, no, you know, this is going to be peaceful. Everyone here is peaceful. They're just like, he said basically, if the feds shoot at them, then it's on. He told me then all the civilians got to leave because it's going to, like, a lot of people just basically said, if they shoot at us, that's the revolution. It's on.
Wow, it's crazy. It's getting up to this, like, powder keg point almost, just like it is kind of all around the world, it seems. You know, there's been all these revolutions lately over the past couple years.
Well, these governments are all awful.
Yeah, part of why I went is because, like, it seems serious. Like, they want a revolution. And then another reason why I went is because we wanted to talk with the indigenous people, with the native people who were pushed off of that land, the Moapa Paiute tribe. So we're thinking, oh, they're going to be upset, or they're going to, you know, we're thinking they would have a different perspective because it's, like, legitimately their land. So we went to talk to them, and the people who are aware of the situation, they seem to, like, have empathy for the Bundy family. And I even met some of the people at a church on the reservation who were Christian Republicans, and they were friends with the Bundy family. And they had been raising cattle on the land, on the reservation. And they just weren't financially able to keep raising the cattle. But they said the Moapa Paiute people seemed to, like, they hate the BLM too. And so I think that's why I had empathy, because they have that common enemy.
Well, I doubt that you'll ever meet a Native American that is actually for the federal government. Look what they did to these people. I mean, it's insane. I have a few ancestors that are Native American, and it's just like a lot of my, like, older family members, they're more like Democrats, and they don't really think about this kind of stuff. But it's like, to me, it's like, dude, we were persecuted by this federal government for so long. How could you guys, like, be in such support of them and all that stuff? But I mean, I guess, you know, people forget, and that's the problem. People forget that how bad government really gets.
People don't bite the hand that feeds them either. That's another thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it's like we forgot all this bad stuff they do, and people tend to assume, oh, well, over time they'll get better. But the fact is, if you look at history and if you look at every country that's ever existed, over time government gets worse, not better. You know, it's like,
for sure,
they might have been spying on us back in the 30s when they first created the FBI or whatever, but now they're spying on every single little tiny thing we ever do.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
We're at that breaking point. Like, I don't know. I personally, like, have felt since, like, summer 2011 before Occupy, I felt like revolution is going to happen. It's not only necessary, but it's inevitable. And it's just a matter of when, you know, because there are so many, we're being pushed so far. And then also because of the internet. And I think the internet correlates with the first revolution, where they had the printing press, and then the people were able to, like, they kind of democratized the knowledge. So now we have the internet, which is the people's printing press, and like the knowledge is even more democratized. So the people are taking over the media and the access to knowledge. So I think because of the internet, that the revolution is completely inevitable. It's going to happen.
Yeah, and I think in all hopefulness that it can be peaceful too, and it just gets to a point where it's just a change of
minds. You know what? And the people, the militia people that I talked to, they hoped it was going to be peaceful too.
Yeah, I think that like everybody, when it comes down to it, at the individual level, everybody really wants peace, you know, and we're tricked into doing bad things. We're tricked into committing violence most times because we think that committing violence is going to give us more peace afterwards, you know. And so when if it's left up to like individuals, if it were left up to people to be completely free and everybody in the whole world was completely free, I doubt we would ever see another war. You know, we might see some little scuffles and we might see a little this and a little this and that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this widespread killing, like we've seen in these big wars, like World War I, World War II, Vietnam, and all this stuff, I mean, I think individual people would rather be peaceful and mind their own business. And I think a lot of this stuff that happens in the world, bigotry and all this stuff, racism, institutionalized, or it's based on religion, or the government is helping perpetrate it, because these types of things benefit government because it keeps people divided. If you can keep people all divided within different classes, different sectors, different political parties, different, you know, different races, whatever it is that they do, that's what they like. That's what they want, because that keeps them with the total power. Now, what you said about the Native Americans in the area, that where they're kind of like solidarity with the Bundy family, that's awesome news, because that's people transcending what you would think would be typical stereotypes, and they're saying, no, we have a common enemy. The government is our common enemy. You know, that's everybody's problem. You know, yeah, maybe we a couple of hundred years ago we had a problem with the Bundy family, but you know, now we're friends. We've made it. We've fixed things, and now we have another common enemy that we need to fight against, you know, and we're not going to stand for it anymore. It's pretty good news, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, what you said earlier about how there were all these rumors spreading, like, before you headed to the ranch, do you think that stuff was, like, psyop? Do you think it was, like, they put it out there on purpose to try to discourage people from going, or what do you think?
Isn't the whole thing a psyop itself?
I don't know. Like, I can't really speak to that. I don't know where the rumors are coming from. And I'm still hearing rumors. Like, people keep telling me, well, it's not over. Like, why did you come home? There's, like, all this stuff is happening. And I'm like, you know what? If the Bundy family didn't say it, don't believe it. And if Pete Santilli said it, like, maybe believe it. But, like, that's the only people I'm going to believe, because Pete Santilli is one of the organizers. He's this radio host, and he's the one who took the viral video of the police brutality. And then I believe Pete Santilli is the person who called in the militias as well. So he's like, that's somebody who probably knows what he's talking about. And like, I don't know, you know, I don't know exactly if he's credible or not. Because I'm not that familiar with him. But I feel like the Bundy family, if the Bundy family, like, said something happened, then it happened. Because I just really think they're very genuine. They're really sweet people, and I like them a lot.
Yeah, well, to me, it seems like, you know, it would seem like they were trying to make people not go out there, because I know a lot of people started mobilizing.
Yeah.
How many people do you think were there, like, at the peak time?
Between like 500 and like 750, maybe. It's hard to count. Some people were saying like 400. Some people were saying 1,000. I don't know. I'd say maybe like 500 to 700.
Well, they had enough to outnumber the feds. That's a good thing.
A lot of guns.
So, I guess we can kind of talk about. Do you think the guns really played like a factor in deterring the feds? Do you think if the militia hadn't showed up, do you think that anything would have turned out differently?
Well, I think there's another factor here. Like, because one question a friend of mine who went with me was asking was, do you think if these were black or brown people with guns, would it have turned out differently? And I think, like, definitely, like, or also people are saying, well, what if these were, like, left-wing people? Like, what if these were, you know, if they weren't conservative people and they came with guns, would it have turned out differently? So I think, you know, if you look at, like, Occupy versus the Tea Party, like, how they were treated by the police and the media, you know, they were completely, you know, treated differently. So I think basically because these are white conservative, and it's not just men because there are women too, but I think definitely if it was anybody else, I don't think it would have turned out the same.
That's a good point because the cops are a lot more likely to people that are of a more like oppressed class, you know. And
and also speaking of the cops, like it was a trip because the Las Vegas Metro Police were there on the freeway because they came and they slowed down the traffic on the freeway, and then you know, people just pulled over and parked on the side of the freeway, but it was a bridge. It was a really, really high bridge. And people were just parked on the side. And, like, nobody's getting towed, nobody's getting ticketed. People are, like, on the other side of the freeway watching the standoff that was down below. And, like, the Las Vegas Metro Police were totally accommodating and facilitating this. And I'm like, what? Like, that would never happen, like, if it was, like, some other, like, political group. They would be there bashing people's heads in or something. You don't, like, that would be tolerated in LA, a freeway shutdown. That would not be tolerated. Like, they would come with, like, riot gear and threaten us with pepper spray.
Just so you guys know, there's this petition right now being signed by people that's requesting the Nevada governor order all state troopers and Nevada National Guard to the Bundy Ranch.
Oh, dude, that's insane.
To do what? To do what? I'm guessing to escort them to state.
I think we're... Hey, sorry, I think we had a little outage of some sort there.
Uh-oh, well, who's that?
Hey, can you hear me there?
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. I think we lost my co-host.
Oh, no.
That's all good. So, now, this whole Bundy thing, and considering what you were saying earlier, with the Native Americans. I mean, it just seems like this whole thing is popping off, like, not just in this country, not just in Nevada, not just in LA or San Diego or New York or anywhere, but it's all over the world. You know, there's all these revolutions going on. There's powder keg everywhere.
For sure.
It's people getting tired.
We're behind schedule.
And I think
we're still behind schedule for that, right?
Yeah, and I think what you said about the freedom of information and how back in the day they had the printing press, but now we have the internet. I think that, I mean, there's nothing bigger than the internet when it comes down to trying to take our freedoms back from all this stuff that's going on, be it the government, be it the corporations, be it the people behind Wall Street or whoever it is that's really
charged. Yeah, and also that when I used to listen to, like, conspiracy radios, like, back in 2001, I used to listen to Coast to Coast, and there would be, like, these psychics, and they were talking about, like, this thing called lifting the veil. And, like, what they meant by lifting the veil is that they're saying, like, in the future, which is now, that all of the secrets would come out. And now we see, like, that all of these secrets are coming out, and they, because we have the internet, because we control that information, the people control the information. We have, like WikiLeaks, and we have, like, Julian Assange, and we have, like, Bradley Manning, and all of these heroes that are telling us, like, the truth and all of these secrets, and these things have been secrets for a long, long time, and now we know. So, like, this lifting of the veil thing, you know, has happened. And now, like, when you know the truth and you see, like, oh, my God, like, this is so unjust, like, you just, like, at some point, like, you're going to break. Like, we're all going to break, and there's going to be some tipping point, and, like, I don't know when that's going to happen. I don't know when the tipping point is going to happen. They say you can't predict that.
But
I don't know. These people thought that was going to be on Saturday. Like, they thought on Saturday that was going to start the revolution.
Well, you know, in my opinion, thankfully not, just because I just don't think we're ready yet. Like you were saying, you agreed with their grievances a lot of times. But when it comes down to what goes on afterwards, I think a lot of people are going to have disagreements. It's not going to be just two groups of people saying, oh, we should do it this way, we should do it that way. Think of how many different political ideologies there are out there, and economic ideologies and economic theories. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of different groups at play, you know, and I think we need to come to some kind of peace. You know, a kind of peace before the battle, before we can really think about it. Because otherwise, we're going to end up just like Egypt did, where we have a revolution. Oh, yeah, great, for a week or two. And then you got the Muslim Brotherhood, and they get elected, and then they start taking away everybody's rights. And then they get overthrown, and then the military comes in, which is just another puppet of the U.S. government. You know, and so if we have a revolution right now, I honestly think it would be premature, just because our ideas haven't matured enough yet. We don't have the right ideas to follow up on anything we do, because the only prevailing idea right now is the Constitution and republicanism and democracy. And in my opinion, all of those ideas, they all have some points that make sense, but at the same time, they all have major flaws.
Like, they're for a world that's 200 years ago. We live in a completely different world. We don't need to be represented anymore. We're capable, like, of voting on our own without having somebody vote for us. So, like, that whole representative thing, it's not modern. Like, it's not necessary.
Oh, and it's much older than 200 years, because our government is based on Roman style republicanism. So this is an idea that failed.
Like, I thought it was, like, it's also based on Iroquois nation.
Yeah, they made a few improvements, right? So they did have some good ideas, just like the Romans had some good ideas. But we see that there's major cracks in these systems. There's major flaws that, unfortunately, it leaves a lot of people out. So a lot of people don't actually get to participate in all the benefits of being in these type of system, and having a system that's backed, you know, a dollar system as a reserve currency that's backed by the U.S. military. Yeah, some people benefit from that. You know, the people upper middle class, and then the rich people. Yeah, that's good for them. But the rest of us are still left out. Everybody's left out of the system. Not only that, but it's a system built on violence, you know, more or less. So, you know, hopefully when it does come time for revolution in this country, we're a bit more mature with our ideas of what we're going to move, you know, what we're going to transition into. Because right now, I think it would be total chaos.
Yeah, that could be.
So, there's a few other things we wanted to go over, and if you have some time, we could stick around. What role do you think the independent media played in kind of getting the feds to back down from this Bundy situation?
That's an interesting question. Because a lot of the people I talked to there was a lot of independent media, but it was all, like, right-wing independent media, except for me. Well, you know, even mainstream media played a role, I believe, because there's Channel 8. I don't know exactly what station is, but they did that really sympathetic report, and they've been out there covering it. And then Fox News was out there, and Bob Massey from Fox News, he was doing an interview with Susan Hardy Bundy when I arrived, and he was really sympathetic with the family. But Fox News did do something like very uncool. Basically, they told everyone it was over. So before the time when they went to go have the standoff to get the cows, Fox News announced that the whole thing had been resolved. But it hadn't. Like, they hadn't gotten the cows back, and they had that standoff to get the cows back. So while that very dangerous situation was happening, Fox News was lying to everyone, saying, "Oh, it's over. Everything's good."
Wow, but, so the mainstream definitely was trying to manipulate it a bit. But yeah, I apparently InfoWars, which I still consider part of the alternative media, albeit he's almost to the mainstream and he is a right winger, but they were apparently InfoWars had the most widely read story on I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday in the whole world. Like, they had the most widely read article in the whole world, the most hits. Which is pretty big, you know, for a smaller operation to do. And I think that the independent media did play a pretty big role as far as getting enough people to become aware of this thing.
And, because InfoWars was also live streaming also, which I thought was cool that they were live streaming. I didn't really like Peter's style of live streaming, but I was really happy that he live streamed. But he was just narrating as if it was a radio show, like with the live stream as the visuals. And I don't know, that's one style, but I don't know, I'm glad that they were there. I mean, I'm glad that they were showing it live. That was awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, it gives us all a window into it and a perspective. You know, a lot of people that would like to have been there that couldn't, at least they say they would like to have been there, that couldn't make it, you know, that they got to watch it live and get a independent perspective.
Yeah, and Pete Centilli was doing a live stream too, and then I was doing a live stream also. But and the people, there was a lot of rumors that the cell phones were being blocked, and I don't really like always pay attention to that because before I left, I checked the coverage maps, and the coverage maps said my Wi-Fi wasn't going to work there, and then it said like Sprint is going to be like 3G, and like the ranch is like kind of in the middle of nowhere, so like you're not gonna get good cell service. So my cell service cut off at like 12:30, and then I had been live streaming from like 5 a.m. until 12:30, and then it got cut off. And then whenever we went to go get the cows, like there was absolutely no service over there. But the guy from InfoWars let me like talk to the people on the stream because everybody gets nervous like when the live stream goes down and they're worried about me. So I just said, "Hey, I'm sure my viewers are watching you. Can I jump on there and tell them I'm okay?" And that was really cool.
Oh, that's awesome. So you guys had each other's backs in a way.
Yeah, definitely.
And that kind of goes towards this more of this idea of like a cooperative media, where, you know, kind of getting these alternative independent media people to band together when it comes to certain things and to be able to have these kind of resources, you know, where we could legitimately live stream video from live, you know, things that are happening that happy to know about. And
I think everyone should live stream. Definitely. Anybody can live stream if you have a smartphone, and I think everybody should.
And imagine before any of this stuff was possible. I mean, in order for someone to do that, you would need like thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment, you know, like $30,000 worth of camera equipment and all this stuff, and a way to uplink it all via satellite or whatever. You know, now it's the accessibility is coming into play, you know, and the information is becoming more widely available, and the technology is becoming more available and stuff. So there's no reason for people for the independent media, in my opinion, to become the main source of information for people. If it's not already there, because it kind of, in a way, it seems like the internet based media is already surpassing the TV stuff. But that's my bias. But in my opinion, it's already there.
Well, like I know a lot of people say, like if they want like the truth and news, you go to Twitter, you know.
Yeah, Twitter's like the perfect little micro-blogging. You get little bits of truth and info, you know?
Yeah.
Patty, thanks for being on the show. We're coming to the end here.
For sure.
Make sure you guys tune in on Wednesday, and we're going to keep updated on this Bundy thing and everything going on in Ukraine. So we'll catch you guys on Wednesday.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.